This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Russian President Vladimir Putin says he hopes to meet next week with President Trump. The suggestion that Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky might also take part in discussions about Ukraine has been dismissed by the Kremlin. The White House tariffs have now kicked in. Taxes on as many as 90 countries facing tariffs of at least 10%, but some as high as 40%. And says ABC senior political correspondent Rachel Scott.
The president also says more tariffs could be on the way, including across-the-board tariffs on semiconductors and chips, a move that could drive up prices even more for electronics, appliances, and cars.
The Israeli cabinet is meeting today as protests against the Netanyahu government take place outside. Netanyahu set to ask the cabinet to approve plans for the IDF to gradually seize all of Gaza City. The investigation continues at Fort Stewart, Georgia, where five soldiers were shot and wounded yesterday. The army, by a sergeant who was tackled by other soldiers. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The city's Judiciary and Administration Committee voted to recommend adding drinking fountains around La Crosse at its most recent meeting. The new drinking fountains would be accessible to all, which is the reason why the current green bubblers around the city are turned off. A measure to delay removing the bubblers for historic reasons, which were shut off at the start of the year for not complying with ADA, failed to gain support. The recommendation to add drinking fountains around the city will move on to the full Common Council next week. Gas prices are ticking up in the Midwest, but they could be coming down again soon. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Gas prices are up 4.8 cents compared to last week, landing at an average of $2.92. This is 0.7 cents lower than a month ago and over 56 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. The national average has increased during the past 2 weeks and is up 1.3 cents from last month, standing at $3.11 per gallon. Officials at Gas Buddy say OPEC Plus has fully restored production to 2023 levels. The weak jobs report and renewed tariff threats bring fresh economic concerns, causing oil prices to potentially face headwinds. This could pave the way for a decline in gas prices in the weeks ahead.
After holding steady at about $2.92 per gallon for several weeks, La Crosse gas prices briefly jumped above $3 per gallon and are now around $2.96, just above the statewide average. Scattered storm chances today should keep temperatures down despite high humidity. We'll top out in the mid-80s with scattered showers bringing up to a half inch of precipitation to some areas in the Cooley region. Tomorrow will be hot and humid with highs in the 90s and heat index values around 100, with dew points climbing into the mid-70s. Storm chances return Saturday into Sunday as temperatures begin to return to normal for this time of year in the low to mid-80s. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Another sweep for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Braves 5-4 to complete another three-game sweep. The team has tonight off before hosting the Mets tomorrow night. At the Packers training camp in Green Bay, Jordan Love talked about his story running on the website The Players Tribune about the loss of his father at the age of 14 after he committed suicide. The family says that Orban Love, age 51, had an adverse reaction to a heart medication that led to mental illness.
So my marketing agent was one who connected me. They approached and wanted to be able to write my story. It's just real stuff that's happened in my life. So, I think it's very cool to be able to share that. And I think there's some stuff, in my story that, I think a lot of people relate to and have been in similar situations. So whatever things people might be going through, just keep going and keep pushing through is really the message of it. I appreciate them for giving me that opportunity.
As Packers quarterback Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Very warm and muggy today with high temperatures climbing to the upper 80s. Then this afternoon, showers and thunderstorms spark. Rolling into our evening, they should wind down late tonight, giving way to a very sunny, hot, and humid Friday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Laura McCoy, she is a member of the Green Bay School Board.
In the 1990s, revenue caps were put into place, and Green Bay was a conservative, low-spending district. Mm-hmm. We've been struggling with that basically ever since. The people in our community have stepped up again and again to pass referendums. That's wonderful, but we need that per-pupil increase. We need the cash to keep the lights on, basically, and to pay our staff what they deserve.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. As summer winds down, we're still enjoying the outdoors. We'll be joined by Casey Hicks of the Wisconsin Conservation Voters next time to talk about how we preserve Wisconsin's outdoor heritage. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, coming up this hour, we have Brittany Merlot with a little weather and wine.
She went to EAA last week. Was it last week?
Two weeks.
Oh, my God. Time
she melted.
She melted, but she saw some amazing stuff, too.
She did. But we have some very hot weather coming our way, I believe. Might see some rain a little bit later on. So Brittany's going to give us an update on what we can expect as we head into the weekend, last weekend of the Wisconsin State Fair. Mm-hmm. Bunch of county fairs and other things going on all around the state.
Sweet Corn Fest in Kenosha coming up.
Oh, yum. Yeah. So, Brittany joining us in about 15 minutes after 10:30. Journal Sentinel's sports guru, J.R. Radcliffe, will be here to talk all about our boys, the Brewers.
Oh, what's going on with them, Jane?
Oh, nothing. They just won a couple games.
Oh.
There's no excitement
there
at all.
So they're doing better than the Colorado Rockies?
They are doing considerably better than the Rockies.
Thank you.
And we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Long Strange Trip edition. Yeah, it's kind of along the lines of what you think.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for that, for our Tisbet, as we call it, at the very end of the show. Want to remind you as well to make sure you have the Civic Media app. Tomorrow is Friday, so Free Ticket Fridays will be back. Join Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9. He'll have a keyword for you. We will have one from 9 to 11. Tom Hartman, then, from 11 to 2. Todd Albaugh, 2 to 4. And Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Each of us will have a keyword for you tomorrow to text in via the Civic Media app. And we are playing for a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. Really good seats for the hottest team in baseball right now.
They will be playing the Pittsburgh Pirates on August the 13th with 13th, which is a Wednesday. We don't want to make sure you can go because they're not transferable.
Right.
But this is going to be great. I mean, it's just, come on, man.
It's a hot ticket, baby.
We're at 70 wins already. No one else is. And who knows where 100 was going to come in there. And I'm very excited. And I'm hoping. And I feel like J.R. Radcliffe, along with what Paul Noonan said last week, is just going to give me more hope for my heart, which is an large demand right now. Yep. Hope, not my heart. My heart's not large.
Hope is always a good thing. Yeah. JR joining us after 10:30. And we have Brewers tomorrow. They're back in action. They're off today. They're going to be hosting the Mets. Our broadcast tomorrow will start at 6:35. And you can catch the game on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN, in Park Falls on WCQM, and in Hayward on WBZH. That's tomorrow night. The Brewers hosting the Mets. The game, our broadcast starts at 6:35. Wanted to start off with this. I think it's important just to keep an eye on what's going on. Mm-hmm. There's so much news that breaks.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, we miss things just because things break with such so quickly these days. But it's important to keep an eye on stuff like this. This is from The Guardian. The Smithsonian, we're talking about the Smithsonian in Washington.
Yeah, the big museum. Yeah.
Smithsonian says it will restore Trump impeachment exhibits in the coming weeks. Yeah, there was a little oopsie. Smithsonian, about a couple of weeks ago, someone went into the Smithsonian and there is apparently a display on some of the rockier moments in presidential histories. Mm-hmm. And they include which presidents were impeached. President Bill Clinton was impeached. Mm-hmm. That was included in this display. You know what wasn't? Trump's two impeachments. How would that happen?
Yeah. I wonder.
The revelation that Trump was no longer listed among the impeached presidents sparked concerns that history was being rewritten. Yeah, that kind of makes a couple eyebrows go up.
Yeah.
A spokesperson for the museum had previously pledged a future and updated exhibit will include all impeachments. It's not clear, though, when that's going to happen. It's coming, just not right now.
But, Jane, that's not the end.
No, there's more.
There's more, everybody.
There's more. This kind of jumped all over the internet. I believe it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And this is from Axios. Library of Congress claims coding error for missing sections of the Constitution. Yeah, this is kind of a oops. The Library of Congress yesterday pointed to an unspecified coding error that led to key parts of the U.S. Constitution being deleted from their Constitution annotated website. You know what was missing?
The Second Amendment, the 27th Amendment, that section that deals with copyright.
They got rid of habeas. I'm sorry. It was an unspecified coding error that left out the right to habeas corpus. Habeas corpus protects all of us. All humans, not just citizens,
mm-hmm.
all people from unlawful detention.
You get due process.
You do.
Whether you are here as a citizen, whether you're here legally, whether you're here undocumented, you are owed due process by the Constitution of the United States, written by a bunch of guys a bunch of times ago. They also oopsie doodled the section about foreign emoluments clauses.
Oh, where you're not supposed to get paid by other governments?
Where you're not supposed to accept a free plane from another government? I don't know. It just seems, Jane, computers are tough.
They're twitchy.
I don't know.
You know, they're twitchy.
I don't know how to run my Apple computer Mac. It's tough.
The Library of Congress said in a statement yesterday, it has been brought to our attention that some articles, sections of Article 1 are missing from the Constitution annotated website. We've learned this is due to a coding error. The Library of Congress did not respond to any further questions other than to say we are working to resolve this issue and regret the inconvenience.
And this is where I want to send a huge shout out to those people who are out there, and I don't know them, but the people who are out there who are checking websites all the time, who are looking for the information, making sure that our history stays.
Watching what gets disappeared.
Exactly. And if you ever want to see a really great example of what the internet, well, if you want to see a great example of what happens when people try to disappear their own history or try to wash it away, there's a website called the Wayback Machine that's capturing the internet as it goes, and you can see things that people delete so you can keep up to what though that is going to probably be one of the most important history books in our modern day, to look back at that website to say, oh, they got rid of this too. But seriously, there is a huge amount of gratitude that I have for those individuals who make it their life's work, even if it's not being paid, to make sure that the history that's happening right now
is
still being recorded, preserved, and protected, because that honestly is part of a free and fair democracy as well. You cannot allow the powers that be to rewrite our history. Our country has a problem with rewriting history as it is.
No doubt.
And we're coming to blows with that, and we're dealing with that day by day. But we can all agree that our leaders rewriting history from, I don't know, 5-6 years ago is bad. It's real bad.
As far as oopsie doodles go, these seem kind of bigger as opposed to whoops. Oh, those darn coding errors. I don't know. And it was just the right of habeas corpus and emoluments that got disappeared. What's it going to be next? 855-752-4842 if you would like to join the conversation. Jean from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Jean. Thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Three cheers for you guys every day. You bring something out that's super important. Because I was hoping to, Greg, thanks for the Wayback Machine.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really concerned about all the crap that's disappearing, the history that's disappearing. You know, a lot of people don't have time to look at all
right.
this stuff, and they just trust what they read. I'm praying that people have copies or videos of what happened when those hearings were taking place and when Trump was committing those crimes and all of the documentation there was. And I know PBS had a lot of that stuff out there, and you could watch the hearings now, even in your spare time, of the things that Donald Trump did with Russia, all of the different things that have happened, and I'm afraid of them disappearing.
Yeah.
And I hope people are really preserving this. This is so important. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Bye.
Appreciate it, Gene. Thank you so very much. Just as a reminder, Scott Walker did the same thing when he was governor in Wisconsin. We disappeared all kinds of climate information.
Well, I mean, that just...
When Scotty was governor.
Well, I guess to certain people, then Scott is just a pioneer of the process.
Isn't he? He's the pioneer of oopsie doodles.
I'm going to put a link to it's called the Internet Archive Wayback Machine. It's a 501c3 nonprofit that's building a digital library of internet sites and other cultural artifacts in digital form. And to this day, they have preserved 940 billion web pages over time. So if you're looking for something, go there. It's a 501c3. It's nonprofit. I will be in our show notes, but that is this is the second or third time in a week I've heard them referred to because of the work they do to preserve our history and keeping people, maybe not keeping them honest, but saying, like, if someone said, I never said that, well, I have this website here that says
you did. And we have video of you saying that thing.
Yeah. It is
critically important, and I really got back into reading a lot in the last few months, and I read a book about the history of libraries.
Yeah.
This has happened throughout history.
Oh, yes. Oh, of course.
Trying to disappear knowledge, depending upon who comes out on top, disappearing cultures, disappearing...
Yeah.
I mean, this happens.
This goes back thousands of years.
It
goes back to the point of... The winner writes the history books. There are civilizations we will never know about because because
they lost.
They're gone. They're referred to in books, and that's all we have. But we don't have their songs, their writings, their teachings, their politics, their methods, because they're gone. Because someone said they are not of us. Therefore,
not our values.
Exactly.
Not our values.
Yeah.
Hang on to your books.
Keep them people accountable. Myvote.wi.gov, as always, go there. Find out who represents you and reach out to your representatives. Tell them doing a great job or tell them what you think of the job they're doing. But always be respectful when you talk to your reps.
Please. And again, our show notes, you can always find our show notes at our website. Go to civicmedia.us. At the very top, you click on shows.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Matt and Air on Air. Click on that. And that will bring up at least 100 archived shows.
Yeah.
And Greg does a really good job of all the articles that we talk about and everything. There are links within those show notes.
Correct. Yep.
So check that out again at civicmedia.us. And don't forget to download the absolutely free
Civic
Media app. Coming up, the Matt and Air on Air House Band Hot and Sticky is going to join us.
Oh, come on.
For a little weather and wine. I wrote it down.
Brittany
Merlot.
You know what's great? Do you know what's great, Jane? A lovely rainstorm. You know what's terrible? Hot rain.
Brittany's coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Let's go!
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Let's go. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. We've been explaining the basics of fair redistricting and unfair gerrymandering this week. Who does the redistricting, and how can that encourage fair maps and curb partisan and racial gerrymandering? In the majority of states, partisan legislative subcommittees draw redistricting maps. Because redistricting is so sophisticated and data-intensive, legislators often hire outside contractors and, all too often, data specialists from the majority party's national headquarters. In some states, advisory commissions are appointed by the governor and leaders of both parties. Sometimes it's all politicians, or in the case of Virginia and New York, a mix of political appointees and citizens. Such commissions can make map recommendations, but those recommendations are subject to change and often ignored by the legislature. For fair and competitive maps, constitutionally mandated independent citizen redistricting commissions in Alaska, Arizona, California, Colorado, Idaho, Michigan, and Montana have had the most success. Citizens registered as Democrats, Republicans, and unaffiliated voters are usually appointed in equal numbers and are required to follow redistricting best practices, including public input. In some cases, such commissions have unwound decades of rigged maps, which is why anti-voter politicians work so hard to stop them. We have details on all these redistricting models at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach. Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She joins us on Thursday for a little weather and wine, as we like to call it. Brittany Merlot is here, civic media meteorologist. It's getting steamy around here in Racine already. We have some hot weather coming this weekend, don't we?
Yes, we do. And it doesn't really want to quit, honestly, until a couple of weeks, like a week and a half at least, of some high heat, high humidity, summer, good old summer weather, right? Hey, it's better than the wildfire smoke.
That's true. And this is it a high pressure system now that's going to push that wildfire smoke out of here?
So we've got a low pressure system.
Oh, I knew. Yes, as I said, the low pressure system, Brittany.
See, I didn't say anything, and I just sound like I'm just intentively listening and not thinking about hot rain and humidity. Ugh.
I know. It's like the trade off. We either get terrible air quality and comfortable conditions, or we're getting the high heat summer. I'll take summer at this point. So.
Well, it's August. This is kind of August weather. So are we going to get rain, or is it going to depend upon this afternoon where you are in the state?
It depends where you are in the state this afternoon. If you're further south, much more chances, probably sparking up around 4 to 8 o'clock or so, and then it could continue through the night. But recent data is showing that we're really barely going to get anything. So today might not even happen. Maybe we'll just stay warm and sunny out there. These models have been all over the place. So we've got the rain moving through Iowa and into Illinois now. You can kind of see those clouds kind of pushing into southwestern parts of the state right now. So maybe something will spark from those. If you're far up north, no worries today. Your day is tomorrow. We've got it all over the place.
Really?
So tomorrow morning, we're looking at storms starting, and those will be more north, and then they kind of want to work their way down to the south, especially through the AM. So Saturday, we're looking at strong to severe storms, and those could really dump some heavy rainfall, could see some damaging wind gusts, especially into the Fox Valley, Madison area, kind of looks like it wants to set up on Saturday night and into Sunday. And then Sunday, it continues to be a stormy, wet, active weather day. Monday, that continues, and potentially into Tuesday, too. So the southern part of the state is going to see a lot more of the rain Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, while the northern part of the state is going to see more of it tomorrow and Saturday.
What? So you just said that the models are all over the place. And when we look at weather, we trust you and our other meteorology friends and our weather apps and whatnot. And when you're faced with something that in the, you know, the inconsistency of the models coming out and giving you a definitive answer, is it just a, well, let's do the best guessing we can? Or is it a matter of just kind of putting them all together, creating an average? What is your process when the models aren't consistent?
Sure. Good question, Greg. You know, it's really making the best educated guess. You're going to pull from all of the education, all the things you've ever learned, all the things you've watched. I like to go back and look back at the same situation, what happened last time. So I'll compare to history versus what's happening today and kind of go off of that. But I mean, you really got to know the hyperlocal area and what chances are, plus the terrain on top of it. So you're taking into account so many things when the models are inconsistent. And you just got to watch it like a hawk, which I've been doing.
Just out of curiosity, Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist.
Award-winning.
Yes. This data that you refer to that came in the past that you look at when you're making these models, where does that data come from?
Oh, you know, the National Weather Service, NOAA, things like that.
Oh, okay. So hundreds of people over the years have worked on these models and put this data together, and that's kind of what we rely on for forecasting.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to predict the future, you know?
It
we
is.
Can do it.
We
need to look at stuff to make an educated future. Yes.
Science is a thing.
So yeah. I see what you did there, Jane. Fabulously done. Just a segue made of honey. When you asked the question, I wanted to say, I'm like, well, the Farmer's Almanac. That's what I... Because I am a simple man, everyone, who does not know what they how they refer to it. I do not know things. So when you said going back in history, I'm like, oh, the farm. Yeah, of course. Brittany probably just pulls out that Farmer's Almanac. And like, what happened in 1898? There we go. It's probably going to happen this week. Probably not because we're getting wildfire smoke from Canada.
Yeah. Oh, that's a whole new battle to fight as it is. I mean, I'm not used to forecasting wildfire smoke that long over Wisconsin. When was it going to leave? So I learned a lot just last week watching that. And the high pressure, like you said, Jane, the high pressure is the problem. That's what brought it. And by the 18th of this month, looks like another big high pressure from Canada swings through. So I'm watching to see if that wildfire smoke will be here again or not. But Canada is just on fire. If you look at the maps. Well,
if they just listen to Tom Tiffany, they get their act together.
Yeah, Tom's got all the answers. They just need bigger fire brooms, apparently, or something like that. Whatever. Brittany Merlot is Civic Media's meteorologist, and she joins us every Thursday at this time for a little weather and wine. Thank you so much, Brittany. We'll see you next week. Keep cool.
Thank you.
Stay close. We have news coming up next, and then when we return, there's a little excitement about Milwaukee's Boys of Summer. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be here. We'll talk all things Brewers coming up. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The city's Judiciary and Administration Committee met Tuesday night and voted to approve recommending new drinking fountains around La Crosse, but did not forward a motion to preserve the existing green bubblers, which have been turned off since the start of the year due to a lack of accessibility. The committee also recommended an ordinance to restrict the sale of hemp-derived cannabinoids to people ages 21 and over. On Thursday, the Finance and Personnel Committee meets to go over several airport-related items and the city's collective bargaining agreements. School is starting across Wisconsin, and the state DOT says to be on the lookout for school buses. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
We're getting closer to the start of the school year, and that means more kids walking or biking early in the morning and in the early afternoon. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation reminds drivers the August law of the month is school bus safety. They say traffic patterns change when school is in session. You'll see more school buses on the road, and you'll need to be mindful of your surroundings to help keep kids safe. Each year, more than 600 crashes happen in Wisconsin involving school buses. The Wisconsin DOT says these crashes are preventable. Remember the rules. When you see flashing red lights, stop at least 20 feet away in both directions. Flashing amber or yellow lights mean the bus is approaching a pickup point and you should slow down and be ready to stop.
While most schools don't start until after Labor Day, some have already begun classes this month. High school sports are back, and there are plenty of changes for the upcoming school year in Wisconsin. A new policy allows for name, image, and likeness deals, meaning that high school student athletes can receive compensation for NIL. However, the new policy is extremely restrictive on who can pay a student and what products, services, or materials a student can endorse. Another new rule this year will require any spectator removed from an event to take an online sportsmanship course before being allowed back and after serving a one-game suspension.
Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX,
on your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There are no huge superhero or action films being released this weekend, so we can all take a deep breath. Having said that, there are a couple highly rated films geared toward family fun and horror. First up is Weapons, a film about classmates who disappear at the same time except one. The film is pulling a highly coveted 100% on Rotten Tomatoes with over 50 reviews in and stars Josh Brolin and Ozark's Julia Garner. And if you're thinking this Friday could get a little freaky, you'd be correct. Family comedy Freakier Friday hits theaters, bringing with it a close to an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. Freakier Friday stars Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan, who reprise their roles as Tess and Anna from the original film, which was 22 years ago. That's a long time, so that script better be great. If neither of those titles grab you, there are still several blockbusters in the theater, including The Naked Gun, The Bad Guys 2, F1, and Superman. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Very warm and muggy today, with high temperatures climbing to the upper 80s. Then this afternoon, showers and thunderstorms spark. Rolling into our evening, they should wind down late tonight, giving way to a very sunny, hot, and humid Friday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Actor Neil McDonough. If you saw his face or if you Google him right now, you'll recognize him. He refuses to kiss another woman on camera. On the one hand, I applaud him for not kissing anyone other than his wife, but she says I don't have a problem with him if he wanted to kiss another woman. As someone who's done it, it doesn't really feel like cheating because there's people in the room. It's very mechanical.
You did write it yourself.
I did write it myself.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, we'll talk to Kia Vakil, senior political editor with Courier Newsroom, on the latest battles when it comes to making mischief with congressional maps.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us occasionally to talk about all things sports. He's finally back. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe is here. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, friends. It has been a hot, hot minute. I am very sad that my schedule, like, I swear I'm not even doing that much stuff. It just so happens.
Thanks.
That, I mean, it's just that, like, every other Thursday at this time, it happens to be like, oh, I'm driving somewhere to a baseball tournament in Iowa, or or I have a training session. Like, this stuff just keeps popping up. I don't know what to tell you, but I'm so glad to be here.
We are delighted to have you back. How dare your regular paying job get in the way of the free spot that you do for us every week, which we really,
That's true.
But that aside, let's talk our boys, the Brewers. No, nobody expected this at the beginning of the season. No one.
I mean, I picked them to go 82-80, and I love that for me. It was really really great foresight on my part. Yeah, this is we're so beyond the what could have been expected. I mean, even in mid-May, this was a team that was a few games below 500. It looked pretty middling, had good pitching, but you know, just did not have enough in their offense. And as we've gone along, you know, the pitching's still great, and the offense has absolutely been great. Like, it's been really good to the point that even though they don't hit a lot of home runs or even like slug at all, even a lot of extra base hits at all, they're just so good at putting the ball in play, getting on base. It's not that I think they're lucky. I think everything has gone right to some degree. Now, you could certainly argue with that because they've had some injuries lately to Jackson Churio and Jacob Mizrowski, kind of, although that's not that big of a deal, really. You know, they've had maybe a couple hiccups. But for the most part, they have had so many players step up and fill massive roles that you couldn't have envisioned. Isaac Collins, I think, is maybe going to win National League Rookie of the Year. I mean, I could not have even envisioned that. Again, in mid-May, I wouldn't have even – that is not a thought that would have entered my head. And now I think he's actually kind of one of the front runners, if not the front runner. A Madison guy, Drake Baldwin, who plays for the Atlanta Braves, we saw this week. He's probably the only other candidate who's really going to stand in his way. So guys like him and Caleb Durbin and – you know, Logan Henderson, who's filled in really admirably when they've needed somebody. And, you know, even the bullpen guys, the guys that you've kind of come to rely on, they've stepped up and been big. Trevor McGill's been awesome as closer. I mean, they really are getting something out of everybody. And that's what has made them so effective. They just, there is not a spot on that roster that you can attack. And because everybody 1 through 9 is doing something, is getting on base, is working pitchers, and you know the pitchers keep it close enough that if they're down a run in the sixth inning, you're not worried that they're going to find some offense and get what it takes. So it's kind of an old school coach's dream right now. The Brewers are winning in ways that you know that the teams won in the 1980s and 1990s, but it is so effective for them, this pitching speed and defense model. And they have more wins than any other team in baseball by a couple games at this point. It's pretty crazy.
I feel like we're the Durham Bulls in, you know, it's like playing baseball with grace and everything is working and it's like poetry in motion. So when are we going to ruin it?
Hey,
it is important to note that they're just white hot. You know, they've won 6 in a row coming into this homestand. They almost got us George Webb Burgers a few weeks ago when they won 11 in a row. Before that, they had an 8-game winning streak. I mean, they are on top of everything. It has been sustained. It's been sustained really since toward the end of May. So it's not just a hot streak. It is a just tremendous season at this point. There will be valleys. You know, their schedule is one of the 5 toughest left in Major League Baseball in terms of opponent winning percentage. They do have some pretty big opponents still on the schedule. The Phillies, whom they swept the first time, but still the Phillies are an interesting one early in September. There's this 5-game series coming up in a couple weeks against the Cubs at Wrigley Field. That is going to be massive. The tiebreaker in the NL Central, I think, is going to be a big deal. The Cubs are not going to go away just because the Brewers have bypassed them and are up 4 games. I would not plan on the Cubs just rolling over. They're still a very good baseball team. So that's something to watch. The Brewers are going to be in a tight competition with the Dodgers and potentially the Phillies, whoever the NL East team is, for positioning, for seeding. You know, it's so important now that they're here. that they skip that first round playoff series, that wild card series. A lot of coin flip action there where you don't really, it could go either way.
Right.
It went a long way last year against the Mets when the Brewers seemed to have things in control. If they could just skip that best of three, go straight to the best of five, that's going to take one of the two best records in the National League. They have that right now. They need to keep that. They need to find a way to, and if the Dodgers pass them, that's fine, but no other team then can. They need to hold on to that top two record, and it's going to make things a lot easier for them when they get to the postseason.
If you're just joining us, I'm Matt and Aaron, the Civic Media Radio Network. We are talking to our sports guru, Journal Sentinel writer, sports writer J.R. Ratcliffe is here. He's back. We've missed him very, very much. And I've thought about this conversation with you all week.
Oh, boy.
Well, we had a conversation last week with Paul Noonan, and one of the things he did that really, for me as a Brewers fan, and it addresses what you say, Jane, is that as a Brewers fan, you automatically come in with a half-empty mentality. You're like, this is great. When are we going to hit reality?
Exactly. When's the rock going to hit my head?
But what Paul really put out and what you are saying, I'm picking up what you're laying down too. This is not a Brewers that is lucky or on a fluke hot streak. This is a confluence of great decisions from the managing to the front office on acquisitions, on placement, on who's playing, on rosters, and it's working out. And what's wonderful too, and I don't wish injury upon anyone, and you mentioned this as well, is that in the face of injury of their biggest star players, people are still playing to the top of their game. They're playing optimal. I mean, they have now swept five times in a month. Five times in a month. They hit 70 wins quicker than they ever have in franchise history. They got more. The closest team is Toronto right now. And for me, I'm no longer at a, well, when is this all going to fall apart? For me personally, as I was someone like you in the beginning of the season who said, yeah, it's probably going to be a ho-hum season. It's not going to be terrible.
Right.
We're not going to be the Rockies or the White Sox, but we're not going to probably be contenders. It might be Craig Counsell's, at least in the division, it might be his year. And it still could be. I understand that. But I see a Brewers team this season for the rest of the games that are remaining that are going to not just give it a fighting chance, but they are going to work to make sure you don't come anywhere near that first place in the division, let alone trying to skip over that wild card. Because, God, I just need them to get out of the first round. I need them to get out of the first round of the playoffs. It's too many seasons in a row of we got postseason. Yeah, for like an hour.
Yeah, we got there and it's over.
Yeah.
It was literally 72 hours of postseason baseball.
I don't think the Brewers should be allowed to print a t-shirt that says postseason unless we either make it to the first round or out of the first round. I'm tired of irrelevant postseason merch that is still cooling off from the press when they lose.
Yeah, I tell you what, you are probably not alone. And this is maybe reductive, but if you look at their attendance this year, it hasn't been awesome. It's been below what you'd expect for a team that is playing really well. Now, I don't think we've quite hit that home stretch part of the year where, okay, people are like, oh, this is the best team in baseball. We have to go see them through August and September. So I think there's still a bump coming.
Yeah.
But their attendance is down, and relative to the rest of the league, it's quite a bit down. And I think you are hitting on what I think a lot of Brewers fans have come to terms with. Like, okay, they're a good team. They have some alchemy that allows them to perform with the smallest market, with speed and defense and pitching and whatever. But like the bottom line is they get to the postseason and it doesn't translate. They've made it to the NLCS before, so I know they're capable of doing it.
Yep.
But the last few years, they haven't even gotten out of the first round. Like, what are, you know, why wouldn't fans be more cautiously optimistic as opposed to like going all in on this team? I totally get it. And I think that's fair. This team, like you mentioned, is rising above benchmarks that have never been done before in franchise history. So there is at least that optimism. I think you'd also go with looking at the rest of the league. There aren't a lot of juggernauts here. This is not a Dodgers team. This is not like that 2020 Dodgers team where the Brewers just had their best 60-game stretch in franchise history, and it's still one game better than how the Dodgers were over 60 games in 2020. You know, like there were a couple teams there that were just, you know, a couple hundred win teams that the Brewers would not have competed with. I mean, even now you wouldn't even say that they're on that level. So I think you look at the league being kind of just whatever, the Brewers being as good as they've ever been, and you maybe can start to feel that this is something a little more special. All of that said, the playoffs are still random. There is, you know, very good teams have gotten beaten in the first round of playoffs.
Yeah.
And the Brewers certainly are no stranger to that, even when, you know, I mean, they lost the last two at home. They had the better record. They were the better team on paper than the New York Mets and the Arizona Diamondbacks. And they lost both of those series.
Yeah.
So I think that's always going to be creeping in the back of people's heads. I think the depth that they have built up is a regular season thing. When you get to the postseason, the cream has to be what carries you. I do think because they don't really rely on any one person, maybe they're a little more equipped because 1 through 9, they can make things happen. And it really could be anybody who rises up. And if somebody gets hurt or somebody isn't performing well, oh, well, we got 8 other guys who can do that. Same with the pitching staff. Freddie Peralta is their ace, but they have 5 guys, at least 4 guys that you would say could be the game one starter in the NL wildcard series or NLDS. That's a pretty nice luxury to have. And again, it protects you against, oh, this guy's arm, you know, fell apart.
Right.
We still have another guy who can step in. We still have 3 guys who can pitch that opening series. So, you know, there's always an uncertainty. There has to be. It's just the way that postseason works in all sports, but certainly in baseball. But this is a really interesting, you know, there's a lot to love here. There's a lot to love here.
It's a very, very special team.
Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a sports guru, J.R. Radcliffe is here. We're talking about the Brewers. You have calmed me down, J.R. As far as
he's our guru.
He is our guru.
Noted optimist, J.R. Radcliffe, giving you the reason to feel pill.
But I think you make an excellent point in that. Instead of just having one superstar, this is our go-to guy who does all the things and makes us amazing. We have a whole bunch of those guys. That's got to be a better spot to be in than to have the one marquee player.
Yeah. I was going to say, I personally don't believe one person in baseball can win you a ring. I don't think. I think it's a confluence of team members and choices and whatnot. You can have 2 guys on a basketball team. You can have Pippen and Jordan, but it still have your other players. But in baseball, you need that good team. That's what produces championships.
Yeah, I think you see Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani before he joined the Dodgers, they'd never won a playoff series. I mean, that just speaks to it all by itself. Clearly, the 2 best players in baseball on the same team, and they didn't win a playoff game, let alone a playoff series. I mean, that just speaks to what you're saying right there. You know, I also think this team really values defense and speed more than the guys who are pounding home runs. I mean, it's just so fundamental. Like, you lose Jackson Churio, and you would never say to yourself, well, Blake Perkins is a suitable replacement because Blake Perkins isn't a great offensive player. But defensively, he is. He's really special defensively. So you maybe even gain a little bit. Jackson Churio is a quality defensive center fielder, but Blake Perkins is elite. And then throw in the fact that Perkins is now has hit 3 home runs in the last 6 games. So you're getting extra offense there. They do seem to have an answer for everything. They lost Garrett Mitchell, who's an elite defender, but they got 3 other guys who can play elite defense. And that they seem to have figured out how that becomes how you win baseball games. And you don't even need like superstar pitchers who can strike everybody out, because if the ball is put in play, you know there's going to be a playmate on defense. The Brewers had 0 errors on this road trip. Mm-hmm. Six
That's
games.
That's amazing.
0 errors. And they've started to hit the ball a little bit too out of the park, a little bit more than they had been. They've slugged really well since June. So I think like a lot of people, I can't fully explain it. I don't think I quite understand. You look at this roster on paper, like, oh yeah, best team in baseball. I would look at it and be like, I don't know, maybe they're okay. But it's a crazy year, guys. It's a crazy year.
Andrew from Maine, by the way, texting in saying, don't limit JR to just being Civic Media's sports guru. He is Wisconsin's sports guru, nay, America's sports guru.
And listen to his podcast.
Check him out. Yep. Yes, JR Radcliffe, thank you so much. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
See you soon, guys.
Tisbet, this shouldn't be a thing. Strange, long strange trip edition coming up. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shoman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for attorney general, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and state treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state.
I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A legal challenge against the Line 5 oil pipeline is set to begin August 12th in Ashland. Canadian oil giant Enbridge wants to trench and blast across northern Wisconsin to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline. Environmental groups and the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa are challenging permits and other approvals for the project issued by the DNR. Environmental groups across Wisconsin are calling on the state's congressional representatives not to support a bill that would weaken the Clean Water Act. The so-called Permit Act would, among other harms, allow polluters to release PFAS forever chemicals into waterways without telling state officials, allow massive amounts of pesticides to be released into waterways, and fast-track projects that destroy wetlands and streams. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's fun to look back and laugh now.
That was a bad day.
There are marriages that have died on less. Our first actual fight as a married couple was about the house rules of playing Monopoly. We've not really played Monopoly since. When you can modify an app, you can modify the rules of the game. Maybe there are times when you are better off just playing the computer. Play something else with your spouse instead.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvi Tini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow is Friday. We got a busy show coming up tomorrow. Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters is going to be joining us in right after the 9:30 news. Hour number two, we're going to hear from State Representative Jenna Jacobson.
Yeah, we can talk about those EPA rollbacks that are happening.
Yeah.
And, oh my gosh.
These are it's all important stuff. So that's all tomorrow. Dan Schaefer is off this week, so he will
gallivanting.
Be... Dan is gallivanting overseas.
Gallivanting.
We'll hear all about it when he gets back next week. Dan Schaefer, Recombobulation Area, Civic Media's political editor. Off tomorrow, he will be back a week from tomorrow, but we have lots of stuff coming up for you, so I hope you can join us. Right now, it is 10:54, Calvin. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. This from the SF Gate. Calvin found this. Headline reads, San Francisco police seize the unlikely drug of choice of Grateful Dead fans. Vendors are selling nitrous oxide or ice cold fatties outside.
Jay, what? No. What are they called again? What are they called again?
Ice cold fatties outside Golden Gate Park concerts.
I have lots of thoughts.
Do you?
Yes.
At first, I don't know what that is.
Whippets.
I don't know. A whippet is a dog. A whippet is a dog.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, a whippet is another way of taking it. It's like an inhalant. You do a whippet and you do...
Oh, you do a whippet.
Yeah. So, like, the thing for me is I have to remember that Grateful Dead fans, while they can be in their now 60s, 70s, and 80s,
yes,
are also in their teens, 20s, and 30s, and they're not just expanding their mind, man, dancing around the park. Because, you know, 60 years ago, they were going to Golden Gate Park to watch the Dead for free. And this show they talked about, them at Golden Gate Park, was between, I think, 4 and 6. It was very
Jerry Garcia would be mortified.
It was so expensive. Wow. I'm actually going to look it up real quick because it is and the antithesis to what this all started out to be.
Yeah, definitely. Back to the ice cold fatties. In Grateful Dead parlance, this translates to overstuffed balloons full of nitrous oxide. One balloon for $20, two for $30. Deflated balloons were seen all over the ground. Dealers were so pervasive, the police department saw a trailer with 100 metal tanks filled with nitrous oxide. They arrested one guy for distributing it. There were a number of arrests that were made. Nitrous oxide cuts off oxygen to the brain, resulting in a high that lasts a few minutes. That seems bad.
That seems what doctors would call unworth it.
Yeah. Not new.
And that was the original point I wanted to make. I apologize. I veered off there, but it was that, you know, growing up, you knew what kind of, you were aware what kind of drugs deadheads were taking. And now it's this, they're nothing new, but that being prevalent at dead shows is very surprising and very weird to me, especially for a few minute high. I mean, no, thank you very much. A single ticket there was $233 with a super VIP package available for nearly $10,000.
Unreal.
Yeah. So, and it's not even, it's Dead and Company. It's not even like most of those guys are gone.
Are gone. Yeah, exactly.
So
Calvin, you want to weigh in on this?
Well, I agree with Greg that I would not have assumed or associated Whippets with the Grateful Dead, but according to this article, the band has been associated with Whippets specifically for a while. Apparently, the squeal of a gas can be heard on the experimental song Barbed Wire Whipping Party, an outtake from the album Exomoxica. I don't know how you say
Join
that.
Us next week for more of Calvin Talks About the Dead.
I think Jerry Garcia was sniffing dogs. That's what I think it was. I think Jerry Garcia was like, give me that Whippet over here. I want to smell him.
Wow. I see what you did there. I didn't know Whippet was a kind of a dog. Yeah. Now I want to pet that dog. But yeah, it's not surprising, but it's also weird. And that's, yeah, that shouldn't be. Whippets shouldn't be a thing.
Cutting off oxygen to your brain. Let's not do that.
I wear a thing on my face because that was what was happening when I was sleeping.
You were getting free. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was happening free while you were sleeping.
I was high all night long.
Dude. Wow, did I sleep? That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and our traffic department and everyone at Civic, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and watching us on the stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you get the chance to share it. We got news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn 4 to 6, and Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8. Don't forget tomorrow, Free Ticket Fridays, Free Ticket Fridays, 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets. So make sure you download the app and you are ready to go.
Yep.
Keep it here. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
Soaring high above lacrosse.
This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Looks like a meeting between President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin will be happening. ABC News Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz.
There is optimistic talk from the White House and the Kremlin this morning about a face-to-face meeting between Putin and President Trump, but no date or location has been announced. And there seems to be a catch. The Kremlin this morning saying they have agreed to a meeting with President Trump, but Putin has not agreed to a meeting with Ukraine's President Zelensky.
President Trump's tariffs kicked in at midnight on dozens of U.S. trading partners. The president also planning to slap a 100% tariff on computer chips, except for companies that start making them in the U.S. Apple would be exempt, as CEO Tim Cook promises to boost U.S. investments by $100 billion. Three of the five soldiers shot and wounded at Fort Stewart in Georgia yesterday are out of the hospital. The alleged gunman, a sergeant on the base, is in custody. This is ABC News.